Get into the Word this morning. Father, we thank You, we praise You, we worship You for what You've already done here this morning, for the people You've set free. We know that the angels of God rejoice when one person comes to You, and we rejoice with them this morning. We thank You for Your presence here this morning. We thank You for the privilege and the honor and the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, that no one can take from us. We thank You that nothing will be able to separate us from Your love. Not anything in heaven or in earth or in the depths below. We thank You and praise You for it. Father, we thank You this morning as we approach Your Word. We do so with reverence and honor. We believe that You put a treasure inside of us in an earthen vessel, that the sufficiency, the power may be of God and not of ourselves, who has made us able ministers of the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank You that the Holy Spirit takes the things of Messiah, takes the things of Christ and makes them known to us, yea, the deep things of God. And we believe that we have an anointing from the Holy One to know all things. And we believe this morning that as the Word of God goes into our hearts, that it will be like a sharp two-edged sword dividing our soul and our spirit, our joints and marrow in the very thoughts and in very intents and motives of our heart. And Father, we believe again that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. And we purpose not just to hear this Word, but help us to be doers of it in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Well, we have been on a series on the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are actually living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, I will, when I go away, the Comforter will come. I will pray to the Father, and He'll give you another helper, even the Spirit of Truth. And He will be with you always, and He will take a mind and reveal it to you, and He will be with you and shall be in you. And so in the life of a believer, we are a spiritual being. Every person is a spirit. We are a spirit who possesses a soul, a mind, will, and emotion, and lives in a body. When we die, our spirit departs to be with God. Our body goes into the ground. And the part of us that God relates to is our spirit. God is a spirit, John said. Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, the 23rd verse, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so God wants our relationship with Him to be a spiritual relationship. And that can only happen if you're part of God's family. If you're not part of God's family, you don't have a relationship with God. It's just like, you know, you might have friends, but they're not part of your family, are they? You deal with your friends differently than you deal with your family. You might have really close friends, but they're still not part of your family. And as part of humanity, we have to become part of the family of God. And there's only one way you get into the family of God. You have to be born into the family of God. Just like there's only one way you can get into this world physically, you have to be born into the world. There's only one way to get into God's kingdom. You have to be born into it. Jesus said you must be born again. You must have the Spirit of God come and live within you. There's only one thing that separates people from eternity with Christ, eternity in heaven, and that's what they do with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And salvation is a recreation of your spiritual being, that new man, that part, that hidden man of the heart, Paul called him, where God takes out of you the sinful nature and puts in you the righteous nature of God. And so the Spirit of God literally comes to dwell within us. And so as in this series we've been talking about, in the life of the believer, the Holy Spirit works in the believer's life in a dualistic manner. Number one, He lives within us. Every Christian, every person that's called upon Christ, every person that's been born of God has the Spirit of God living inside of you. The Spirit, the Word says in Romans chapter 8 that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. What does that mean? It means He testifies. He tells us that we're children of God. So the Spirit of God comes to live within us. And that's called the new birth. And through that relationship with God, we have the ability to bear the works or the fruit of God. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And so in Christ, in our relationship with Christ through the new birth, we have this spiritual reservoir living within us that gives us the power to live godly lives. But there's another working of the Spirit of God in the believer's life that God wants every Christian to experience, and that's called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Bible says there was divided to them cloven tongues of fire, and there sat upon each of them. He sat upon each of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The dualistic working of the Holy Spirit, of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, has to do with your service for God or doing the works of God. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And that word power in Acts 1, 8 is the same word we get our word dynamite from. You'll receive ability. You'll receive the miracle power of God. You receive the power to do the works that Jesus did, because Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these you shall do, because I go to the Father. Now, there are some who teach and believe that the day of miracles and the power of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit, as we believe, have passed away. They're called cessationists. They believe that when the last of the apostles of the Lamb died, that those power gifts and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in that capacity died away. And we just simply don't agree with that. There's a couple of reasons for it. Number one, if those things passed away, if they were only for the apostles and they were only for the early church and they were only for Jesus, then the miracles of Jesus and the writings of the early church and all of the works of the apostles, most of it has really very little application to our lives. Because when Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also in greater works than these, then we can't do those works. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Well, that very little of that applies to us. In Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, it says, so the Lord went with them. They went everywhere preaching the word of God, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with the accompanying signs. Well, that only applies to the early church then. None of that applies to us today. But we simply reject that teaching. We believe that the same God that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that was available in Jesus Christ, the same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, is available to us today. Amen. And I believe if you don't approach the scripture that way, then you reduce your Christian faith to simply a mental religious exercise with no power, no expression of manifestations of God. But I believe God not only wants you to believe that it exists, I believe he wants you to experience that it exists. And some people say, well, no, that's not enough. It's only enough that you believe. Well, throughout the Bible, people experienced the power of God. On the day of Pentecost, they experienced the power of God. Amen. How many want to experience God? Amen. Glory to God. Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe what he did was the same. And he's never changed. The power of God's never changed. The Holy Spirit's never changed. The Word of God's never changed. And the works that Jesus did, I believe we are to do as well. And that comes through what's called the baptism with the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit upon. And that gift is available to every single Christian. Amen. Well, last week we began looking at the different gifts of the Spirit. Let's turn in our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. We were on this particular passage of Scripture. Let me get over there in my Bible as well. And glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is teaching these believers about the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we also know about the workings of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 1, says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Or literally, concerning the working or manifestations of the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. So if God didn't want them to be ignorant, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. Amen? It says, you know that you were Gentiles, that means non-Jews, carried away unto these dumb idols, however you were led. So in other words, they worshipped idols of man's devising. And it says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a person, that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom, to another through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Amen. For the body is not one member, for as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So, Paul, by the Spirit of God, is teaching here, and he's basically saying, I don't want you to misunderstand the moving and operation of the Holy Spirit. Because let's go back in time a little bit. These were people that were raised in a pluralistic viewpoint of God. They worshiped myriads of gods before they knew God. These people came out of idol worship. They came out of the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire was not an atheistic empire. The Roman Empire was a very spiritual empire. It's just they worshiped everything that moved. They had myriads of gods that they adopted from the Greeks, and these people were used to worshiping different kinds of gods. And so when the Christians came along and they began teaching that God is one, Hebrew concept, they began showing that the God we worship, the true and living God, is not a myriad of gods. He's one God who manifests in different ways. So he's trying to get these guys to realize that this is one God and one Spirit. These different manifestations you're seeing, it's not a different God that does this one and a different God that does that one, like your dumb idols would imply, but it's one God who works through many people comprising one body called the body of Jesus Christ, the spiritual body of Christ, doing different works. And so this is a new concept to them. And so Paul is trying to get them to understand the difference between the spirit of the world and the spirit of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. In spiritism, in the world of the spirit world, there are two forces. There's God and there's the devil. There's the kingdom of light and there's the kingdom of darkness. Spiritual beings are very, very real. There are angelic beings who call, the Bible says, are angels of light, spirit flames of fire. There are also demonic beings. And both of those worlds, those kingdoms, one's called the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of light, that's God's kingdom. The other is called the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil. The devil's called the god of this world. Spiritual beings, demonic spiritual beings, have always been here since the fall of humanity, since the Garden of Eden. Jesus dealt with spirits when he was on the earth. He cast devils out of people. People who literally were demon-possessed or demon-oppressed at times. He would cast the devil out of them. The early church cast the devil out of people. People have had devils cast out of them for ages. And a lot of things we see in our country and around the world today, you're not going to get rid of through medication. Some people just need the devil cast out of them. I mean, in America, we kind of sanitize everything and we find some kind of meaning for it. But a lot of times it's just spiritual manifestations of the devil. Because people have been opened up to spiritual things in America that weren't here years ago. Years ago, Americans didn't embrace pluralities of other religions. It wasn't popular to embrace everything that moves because we had some spiritual savvy. We were Christian, basically, although not everyone was a Christian, America was a Christian nation. We espoused Christianity. And as such, we stood against anything that opposed Christianity. Well, now because of people abandoning Christ, we've embraced false religions and gods that we have no business embracing in America. And with those gods comes the spirit of their God, and that's demonic forces. And some people are like, oh, I don't believe in all that. Well, whether you believe in it or not, it's real. And one of the keys the devil wants people to believe is that he isn't real. Because then you don't even know he's working on you and you're deceived already. But there are demonic beings, and these beings seek to manifest themselves. But we live in a fallen world as well. We live in a world that is not a godly world, a world that's fallen away from God, and as such it is a broken world, a hurting world, people full of every sort of vice and device and every sort of wound. And the devil is mad and because is a mean being, and he hurts people and wounds people. See, the devil can't hurt God other than hurting God's people that he loves. So that's why the devil attacks and why the kingdom of darkness is full of darkness that hurts people, and people have their lives broken and wounded. And really nothing's different than what was happening here in this church. These people came out of a lot of darkness as well. And so Paul is trying to tell them so they understand the difference between the working of the Holy Spirit and the working of demonic spirits. Because again, in the world of the spirit, demonic beings can do certain powerful things. They really can. And so we need to have the savvy. We need to know spiritually how to discern what is of God and what is not of God. Amen? And that's what Paul is trying to tell them. Well, last week we began looking at these, and we said that you could divide these gifts into nine different gifts in three categories with three in each part. There are three gifts that reveal or revelation gifts. These are called the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. There's three gifts that do something or power gifts. These are the working of miracles, special faith, and the gift of healings. And three gifts that speak or utterance gifts, and these would be diverse tongues, tongues with interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Well, last week we looked at two of these called the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. We're not going to spend a lot of time going over these again, but just for the sake of review to give you a definition of these. The word of knowledge is not the same as knowledge, because some people say, well, some people have the gift of knowledge. It's not called the gift of knowledge, it's called the gift of the word of knowledge or a word of knowledge. And again, knowledge is something we can learn through applying our heart to understanding. Every Christian can acquire godly knowledge. The Bible says the beginning of the fear of God is the knowledge of God. The beginning of the fear of God is wisdom. And so we can apply our heart to these things, and these aren't gifts. Although all things are from God to God and to God be the glory. But that's not the same as these that are bestowed upon people without anything we do. They're just given to us. So a word of knowledge, as it describes, is a sliver of the knowledge that God has about everything. Because we know, again, God knows everything. He knows the hairs on your head. The Bible says a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without his knowing it. So God is all-knowing. And so as an all-knowing God, God knows everything there is to know. But at a particular moment in time, as God wills, God will give his people, a person, a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge is knowledge of certain events or things past and present. Past and present. We used the woman at the issue, the woman at the well last week. If you look in your... In Matthew or John chapter 4, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well and he said, you have had five husbands and the man you're living with right now isn't even your husband. Well, the only way Jesus could have known that, he never met this woman before, was God gave him knowledge of her past. And she says, I perceive you're a prophet. So that is a manifestation of the word of knowledge. And we see that throughout the scripture, manifestations of the word of knowledge. Now, the word of wisdom is a little more advanced than the word of knowledge, because the word of wisdom is the ability to use knowledge aright. Wisdom is the ability to make right choices, to know what to do at a particular time, or to know what to do with knowledge. So wisdom is really more advanced than knowledge when you think about it. And so a word of wisdom, again, is not the gift of wisdom. It's called a word of wisdom. And the difference between the two is that a word of knowledge has to do with knowledge of present and past events or circumstances. A word of wisdom has to do with knowledge of what has happened or is happening, but then wisdom concerning the future. What do you do? Amen. So in... last week we looked at a word of wisdom, and we said in Acts chapter 21, as an example, Paul, when he was at Ephesus, the prophet came to him, Agabus, and took Paul's sash off of him and bound Paul with it and said, when you go to Jerusalem, this is what the Jews in Jerusalem are going to do to you, and they're going to hand you over to the Romans, and they're not going to receive what you have to say. So Agabus knew not only what Paul was doing, he knew what Paul was going to do, and Agabus told him the consequences of the future. So a word of wisdom has more to do with foretelling than it does forthtelling. So the word of wisdom and these two particular gifts of the Holy Spirit will be very demonstrative, especially in somebody that operates in the prophetic ministry. We have Brother Tom Stammen come in, and Tom Stammen operates pretty proficiently in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And those two ministries are in a prophet's ministry. You'll see that more often in their ministry than any other ministries as a general rule. So the word of wisdom tells you what you should do in the future. And in the Old Covenant, we see these gifts. All of the gifts of the Spirit operated in the Old Covenant in the ministry of prophets. Because remember, the prophet, the Spirit of God would come upon the prophet in the Old Covenant and they would prophesy. Or the Spirit of God would come upon the prophet, just as he does in our lives. The Spirit of God would come upon them and they would operate under the manifestation of these gifts. And the life of Elijah, Elisha, and many of the prophets, they would see things. Prophets in the Old Covenant were called seers because God would show them things. And in the Old Covenant, you know, every person didn't have the Holy Spirit. Only the prophet or the king or the priest had the Holy Spirit on them at times. And so kings and people would go to the prophet and say, what should I do? And the prophet would see by the Spirit of God what was going to happen. And they'd say, yes, the Lord says, go do this. Go do this because I see that this is what's going to happen. Or else the prophet by God would warn them and say, if you don't stop doing this, this is what's going to happen because I can see what's going to happen up above, ahead. Amen. So that was a word of wisdom. In other words, the word of wisdom is the knowledge of future events or the knowledge of what you should do in the future. So we can really see, in many respects, the word of wisdom is a better gift in many respects than the word of knowledge, isn't it? Because a word of knowledge may say, well, this is what's happened in your life, blah, 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 but it doesn't always tell you what you should do in the future. Whereas a word of wisdom tells you what you should do in the future. And those two gifts sometimes, actually a lot of times, will work together. You won't always see just one gift operate. Sometimes you'll see them in combination of gifts. We're going to look at that this morning. Well, the third gift that we were looking at in the revelation gifts. And we call these revelation gifts because they are things that the Spirit of God alone could reveal. You wouldn't know these things. So the Spirit of God alone reveals. Now, again, just because we have some new folks here, I want to clarify something. I'm doing a little bit of review here because I want to bring you up to speed. There's a vast difference between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and psychics. Because a lot of people don't have the sense, they don't have the spiritual understanding to really differentiate between the two. They think that psychics operate, they're the same thing as people of God. Well, first of all, a psychic doesn't operate by the Spirit of God. They operate by the spirit of the enemy. The only people that have the Spirit of God operating in their lives are people of God, that you've been born of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of Christ. It's the bottom line. All things, you know, all religions are not the same. Well, I believe they all just worship the same God. You're deceived. They don't all worship the same God. You know, you see this bumper sticker on the people's card, coexist, and the implication is that of that is that we all agree. Well, we can get along, but we can't coexist by the meaning that we just agree with one another. I mean, all religions of the world, most religions are diametrically opposed to one another and what they teach. You know, for instance, Islam and Christianity, there's people right now that are calling it Chrislam, that say a person who is a Muslim can become a Christian yet remain a Muslim. They call it Chrislam. Well, you can't remain a Muslim and be a Christian. Jesus said, come out from among you and be separate, says the Lord, and I'll receive you. Why? Why can't you? Because Islam is not the same as Christianity. First of all, Muslims do not believe that Jesus is God. That's a diametrically opposed to the tenets of faith of Christ. Secondly, Islam does not teach that you're saved by grace through faith. They teach you're saved by the good works, what you do. There's no assurance. Muslims have absolutely no assurance of their salvation whatsoever because they don't have Christ to trust in. And third, the Quran is completely diametrically opposed to the teachings of Scripture. Well, Islam is a religion of peace. Have you read the Quran? Where peace do you find in the Quran? There's no peace in the Quran. It's cut your neighbor's head off if they disagree with you. People say, well, that's not really Islam over in the Middle East, what we see with ISIS. That is Islam. Because guess what? The Muslims that don't agree with them, they kill them because they think they're apostate. Because according to the very acts and teachings of Muhammad, the prophet himself, what ISIS is doing is what Muhammad did. That's truly Islam, folks. Don't buy into this American hogwash of peaceful Islam. Those American Muslims, when they face ISIS, those ISIS Muslims will cut their heads off because they think they're apostate. Because you either convert to Islam or you die by Islam. That is Islam. That's what it is. Oh, I just think you're preaching hate. You are deceived. And Americans are deceived. And they're deceived by the God of this world who wants them to be deceived. Don't think you can't be deceived, folks. There are so many people today that profess to be Christians and they are simply deceived. Do you know that in the New Testament, it continually says in the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the apostle, numerous times it says, be careful that you are not deceived. Jesus himself in Matthew's gospel, when his disciples said, what are the signs of your coming and what should we look for? Jesus himself said, be careful that no one deceives you. For many will come in that day saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Do you think we're living in the last times? Absolutely. So that isn't some radical, crazy preacher saying. That's Jesus himself. So I'm just telling you what he said. So my point is, there's a difference between the spirit of God and the spirit of the devil. And people that operate in psychics don't operate under the spirit of God. They operate by what's called a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is a spirit of darkness. It's a demon that literally can show people things. And what does he show them? Well, the devil's familiar with you. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows how much money you have in your bank account. The devil's called the god of this world. Do you think the god of this world doesn't know natural things? Sure, he knows. He knows the names of your kids. He knows the names of your family. He knows your relatives that died. I remember hearing a story years ago about a particular older minister, because back in the 30s and 40s, spiritism was huge in America. Psychics and going to seances and things like that, trying to contact the spirit world. That's still going on today. It's been big for years. It's always a crazy thing. You know, intellectual people and people that are high society people seek after this nonsense. And yet when it comes to the scripture and the Bible, the Bible's just an old book written by a bunch of old cronies and we don't want to accept it. But they'll eat this stuff up like it's cotton candy, man, without any basis of truth behind it. Well, this guy went over here and he said this. That's why the New Age is really popular among really a lot of well-off people and popular people. I mean, Oprah Winfrey's a huge New Ager. She has actually a television show or a show on the internet about New Age. It has all these New Agers come on and teach. And, you know, they teach that Jesus is one of the many ways. She's just simply deceived. Amen. Well, so anyhow, these people are operating under a spirit of darkness. There was a man years ago, and his wife had died, and he was having a hard time, and they'd been married a long time, and so his church said, why don't you take a vacation and just go for a while and, you know, take a few weeks off and just clear your mind and enjoy yourself. And so he went out to, I think it was Las Vegas or something in those years, and he was in his motel room one night, and he decided to go for a walk, and he was walking down the street, and there was a theater there, and it said a performance tonight of some sort. And he thought, well, I'll go see this piano player or something. Well, he said he got in there, and it was a stage, and there was a big 9-foot Steinway there. And he said, this woman came out, and he was kind of surprised. He thought it was a church service, is actually what he thought it was. And he came in, and she came in and started playing the piano. And he thought it was kind of strange because she said she had like this evening gown with a really low cut, you know, front on it. And he said, that's kind of risque for a church service. And she starts playing the piano, and she was playing the piano along, and all of a sudden she got up from the piano, and the piano kept playing. And what it was, he didn't know this, but what it was a spirit service. It was a spiritist service. And he was there for a little bit, and this guy came out, and this guy walked up to him, walked down the aisle right to him, and he says, your wife is here, and she has a message for you. And he said, no, my wife's not here, and she does not have a message for me. She said, your wife is here, and she has a message for you. Will you receive it? And he said, no, I'm not receiving it, and got up and walked out. Now, some people go, oh, that was his wife, and my aunt and uncle contacted me from the other world. I would be very careful about somebody from the other world contacting you and talking to you. Because, listen, nowhere in Scripture do we see. There's only one place in Scripture that we see anybody who died that has access to come back and talk to somebody, and that was when Saul contacted Samuel, the prophet, through a medium. And Samuel shows up, and Saul about messes his drawers. And the only reason Samuel could contact Saul at that time is because before Jesus arose from the dead, the saints who died, they went to a place called Abraham's bosom, a waiting place. They weren't allowed to go into the heavens yet because Jesus hadn't risen from the dead to make a way into heaven. So they were in a waiting place. And so at that time, that was actually accessible. But people today, they don't travel from heaven back to the earth. And they don't haunt houses. And they don't live in museums. And they don't do those things. There's two places you go when you die, folks. You go to heaven to be with Christ, or you go to hell. Oh, I don't believe. I think we reincarnated. Well, you can believe that all you want. But are you willing to stake your eternal soul on it? I'm not. You got to accept what the Bible says and reject what people say. People don't know anything. They're deceived. They chase after the dumbest stuff like, oh, I just believe.